Hi, I'm Josie. My daughter turns 5 today. I'm also an Ohio State Highway Patrol trooper. When you move over and slow down, you're making sure I can get home to celebrate with my daughter.
When you see flashing lights, remember, they're not just roadside workers. Thank you for moving over and slowing down.
All right, welcome in to the Sunday Night Live Stream. I'm Bobby Burton, joined by Jerry Hamilton and Rod Babers. Rod, you're all excited today. You got a cool looking shirt on. Got a hat on. Are you celebrating because the Longhorns had 11 players picked in the NFL draft?
He's also got the glare that's like a glow after 11 players got drafted.
Yeah, I don't know why. Yeah, the sun is like shining right now, right into my little office here. So I apologize about the glare. But yeah, I'm pretty giddy. I mean, I didn't think they had that many players drafted. I was saying 8, you know, maybe 9, 11 players drafted. I think there are a lot of reasons for that. But why not be giddy about that? I mean, I've been talking about it for a while, but I don't know how you negatively recruit against Texas.
Right.
I mean, I was saying that prior to this draft weekend. Now, like I said, there is – right now, if you're Texas, in terms of you selling the program and recruiting, there really isn't right now a negative way to recruit against Texas. There isn't necessarily a downside to coming to Texas at all. I don't see it at all. And I think one of the big ones was, can Texas help you accomplish your dream of being an NFL player?
Yeah.
And damn, I was surprised, but not shocked, but I was definitely surprised, pleasantly so, that Texas got 11 players in the draft. 8 would have been awesome. 8 would have been great. 11, that's different level. Second most in the draft behind what, Michigan?
Yep. 13. There you go.
Says a lot, man. Says a lot.
I thought what was so interesting about the draft, I totally agree with Rod, right? And then next year, you're going to add a quarterback to it. And I think by next year, will every position be accounted for? Maybe, say, in the draft since Sark's been at Texas. That's something to look at, too. But it will be eventually when Anthony Hill comes off the board in 2 years. Yep. Manny Muhammad in that class of 2026 in the NFL draft as well. But, you know, I thought the draft was so interesting, guys, because Michigan, of their 13 players, 11 were high school signees, 2 portal. Texas, obviously majority high school versus portal. Then you had Florida State. Of their 10 draftees, 9 were from the portal. So what that draft did for me is there's no one answer on how to get there as a program. Because, look, if Jordan Travis doesn't get hurt last year, FSU's in the playoff. Let's be real. I don't know who that would have kicked out. Probably Alabama. Probably, I don't know. Maybe Texas at that point in time. Maybe Alabama. I don't know. But they had 9 guys that were drafted out of the portal for FSU. That's we give Sark and those guys credit, and Jim Harbaugh, we've given him credit for their high school evaluation and development. I mean, wow, FSU from the portal. I mean, that's pretty amazing too. So what that did was it just tells you there's no one way to do it.
Nope.
You can get there a multitude of ways, but I think Texas has the best formula long term, because there's a lot of pressure if you're FSU. That was a rebuild. Norvell was going to be fired. Boom. They don't want to have to go to the portal that much on an annual basis. I think Texas has this thing surrounded on what you ideally want to do. You want to have strong top 10 recruiting classes at the high school level, and you want to have that development piece in your program. And then you want to get really good players in the portal now that you're established as a program under Sarkisian, guys that are pros or undrafted free agents or draft picks. I think Texas has the thing surrounded. Now they got to go finish the job here in the next 2 or 3, 4 years.
Yeah, got to say, surrounded is an interesting way to put it, because there's a lot of truth to that. Rod and Jerry, I did some work on it yesterday after the end of the draft. Texas had 5 different ways, basically, that you could end up as a Longhorn in the NFL. They had a class of 2018 guy in Christian Jones, 2 guys from the class of 2020 and Tavondre Sweat, or excuse me, 2019, Tavondre Sweat and Jordan Whittington, a class of 2020 and Jalen Ford. Then they had 4 in the class of 2021, all early entrants, Byron Murphy, Xavier Worthy, JT Sanders, and Jonathan Brooks. And then they had 3 different portal transfer years come in. Think about it that way. Keelan Robinson showed up his first year, Ryan Watts the second year, and Adonai Mitchell last year. So they had three different levels of portal. I mean, you talk about surrounding it.
Yep.
That's called recruiting in the totality. Yeah. Because you didn't just come at it from one direction. You came at it from every single direction. I want to say a couple other things here before we get to some other information going. Texas has split two games thus far with Texas and OU, or with Oklahoma in baseball. Longhorns right now, I think we're up 6-5. Last we checked in the game three of that deciding series, I guess, with the team that's ranked currently sitting in first place in the Big 12, and that's OU. We'll see how that goes.
Someone said Texas just hit a homer, too. So,
Texas did. Okay. All right. Nice. Also want to talk about this. So, of those, that positive recruiting, the negative recruiting, Jerry, you just posted something on TexasFootball.com that the coaches are actually out this week on the recruiting trail. They're going to try to capitalize on that momentum right now.
Yeah, so the spring evaluation period opened up April 15th. Obviously, Texas had the spring game April 20th, so they weren't on the road prior to that. If they made a visit, it was to see somebody in the portal in between a practice day, which did happen, by the way. So then last week, they stayed in-house. Obviously, they had Dominic Williams on campus for an official visit. They stayed in-house. Sark had meetings with the players. I think the position coaches were around for some of those meetings with players as well. So last week was an in-house week to kind of get your plans together. Make sure you made a lot of calls to 2025 top targets last week. Make your plans for the spring. And now the Texas staff will hit the road beginning tomorrow morning. And I actually talked to Brandon Brown from O'Galley, the four-star D-tackle commitment. If you haven't turned on that huddle, Matt may be able to do that for us and have a little fun while we chat here because he's just a destroyer with football pads on. He could get arrested for assault on Friday nights after 7 p.m. on the East Coast. But Kenny Baker will be at O'Galley tomorrow. So that's big. Kenny Baker on a plane straight to the state of Florida to begin his spring evaluation period. Brandon Brown, he hasn't seen him play or practice in person. This will be the first time that Kenny Baker sees all these guys in a spring practice setting. He went to a few schools in January, maybe watched some guys lift weights, but nothing football. So he's headed to Florida right out of the gates. He'll see Brandon Brown, hide your children right now. And then he'll see Derry Norris at Spruce Creek, who I think is going to end up being a top 100, top 150 prospect in the country. We have him a four-star on Texas football. I think you'll see Texas set an official visit soon. And then he'll go down and see Myron Charles at Port Charlotte on Tuesday, I believe. There's the one-handed Rod Babers interception. He's running it back. Oh, does he have 21 on? No, he's wearing 20. Oh, he should have worn 21. So Kenny Baker straight to the state of Florida. I caught up with an offensive lineman out of state as well. I think Kyle Flood is going to be in the Atlanta area early in the week to see Josh Petty from Roswell, private school there, and to see Juan Gaston from Westlake High, who I think is going to go to Georgia. Josh Petty, could Texas get him on campus? Maybe. So the Texas staff's going to be on the road. A lot of out-of-state recruiting this week, in the in-state recruiting as well. But I'm sure Johnny Nansen's going to head west. I'm sure that Tashard Choice will be in Shreveport and out west. So the Texas staff's on the road. The big news is Kenny Baker is going to start in Florida, probably work his way up to Georgia, come back, do the see the in-state kids, and then he'll have to get out west and see Josiah Sharma at Folsom. So a big few weeks coming up for the Texas staff on the road.
Yeah, I you should hide your family. Brandon Brown can get after a little bit, guys. Hey, Jerry and Rod, we got a
– Rod, look at that play.
Ooh.
What did you say that?
He folded the guy.
Just pancake the guy, basically.
Hey, Rod, there's a play coming up where he literally takes one arm and throws the guy down and chases the ball outside the hash. It's one of the best highlight films you'll ever see in high school.
Man, how about Reggie White style, basically?
Hey, Jerry, let's talk a little bit more recruiting. I want to get to that quickly as it relates to the portal, because that's some news you had earlier today as well. But first, I want to say thank you to Joe Brown. Special thanks to him. Joe, is your veteran mortgage professional? Joe's been providing mortgages in Austin and around the state of Texas for more than three decades. In fact, he was my first mortgage broker for my first ever home purchase more than 25 years ago. Joe's also a proud Navy veteran and a devout Longhorn fan. He has 2 degrees from the University of Texas, has worked with numerous former Longhorns, not only players and coaches, et cetera, but also just Longhorns in general there in the Austin area. Give him a call, 512-663-4744. If you're looking for a mortgage, that's 512-663-4744. We appreciate Joe and his sponsorship of this Sunday night live stream. Wouldn't be possible without people like Joe Brown over at Southside Bank. All right, Jerry, I'm going to go back to you. Dominic Williams, the defensive lineman out of TCU, visited Missouri after visiting Texas. Now he's got LSU coming up this week. I understand.
Yeah, and that's it. Visit to LSU Monday and Tuesday. I had an update this morning on OnTexasFootball.com. He will be at LSU Monday and Tuesday. Then he'll make a decision either Wednesday or Thursday. So that'll be 4 visits. He's obviously going to play in the SEC. Texas is either going to have him on their side or they're probably going to have to play against him. I continue to hear that Texas is probably ahead of Oklahoma right now. I think Missouri's probably third. That would be an upset in this recruitment. We'll see what happens with LSU here. But decision coming either Wednesday or Thursday. We'll be on campus in Baton Rouge Monday and Tuesday. So it's getting down to nitty-gritty and decision-making time for Dominic Williams. Texas also continues to show interest in Simeon Barrow, three technique from Michigan State in the portal. Possibility could visit late this week after the Texas staff gets back off the road. And then Derek Harmon, the big 6'5", 345-pounder out of Michigan State. Texas is engaged with some conversations. What happens with Dominic Williams could tell the story there. Even if Dominic Williams comes Texas way, not out of the question Simeon Barrow doesn't get a real look from the University of Texas, even if Dominic Williams goes to Texas. So we'll see what happens with Dominic Williams, and then we'll see if Texas pursues either the Michigan State guys.
The Michigan State guys, just real quick, for more data on them, Barrow, a redshirt senior originally from Groveton, Georgia, two-time All-Big Ten honorable mention, 110 tackles in his career, 18.5 yep. tackles for loss, 10.5 sacks. Derek Harmon, this is only his second year starting. He's got 15 career starts, 71 tackles, 6.5 tackles for loss, 3.5 sacks, and he is the nose tackle of those yep. two. Derek Harmon.
And Simeon Barrow grew up pretty much right down the road from where Kenny Baker grew up. So just at that area of Georgia within 20 minutes. Solo Sonic asks, is Zaire Williams one of the top priorities? If I think you mean Zion Williams from Lufkin, and absolutely he is. I mean, there's Brandon Brown, there's Zion Williams, there's Myron Charles. I think Derry Norris is going to join that group of guys. I just think the kid's that good, and people are figuring it out. Texas A&M and LSU and Florida all offered him recently. Teams are figuring it out. That kid's a stud. And then, you know, right after that, I mean, Josiah Sharma's in that top group, obviously. I think he's a top two guy in the class at Texas recruitment. Zion Williams is absolutely a take. Texas would love to have him in the class. We'll see if they can beat LSU for him. I think those are the top two.
All right. Hey, Rod, I tell you what, bud. Jerry and I earlier today had a discussion, and we had our discussion based on, for the freshman, ahead of schedule, on schedule, or behind schedule. Okay. We've seen practice. We've heard and talked to this stuff. The guys that stood out for you as freshmen this spring, Ryan Wingo obviously has to be one. Any other guys that you thought were maybe a little ahead of schedule in your mind?
Freshman ahead of schedule. That's good. That's a good question. Yeah, Ryan Wingo definitely. Trey Owens is probably ahead of schedule, even though, I mean, you're not relying on quarterback right now. That's not an issue. But in terms of guys who are ahead of schedule, yes. Alex January is probably ahead of schedule for you. As a young guy coming in, I'm trying to think of some other guys potentially. Those running backs, actually. I think your running backs, you may not necessarily need anything from them, but I think of Jared Gibson and Christian Clark, those young guys are like they're ahead of schedule. And what the short choice has done in the draft the last couple of years, I think being in that room automatically puts you on an accelerated path of development, considering what has, you know, that's probably, if you're talking about just overall development and productivity, I don't right now know there's a better position room for any program in the country than Texas running back room.
I gotta take you on that, because CJ and I talked about this a little bit yesterday after the draft. Matt, our producer, put together a really cool graphic for Tashard Choice, just to give people a sense of what he's been doing.
Come on,
here we go. RBU, first Bijan Robinson goes eighth overall last year. Roschon fourth round a year ago. Then Jonathan Brooks is the first running back taken this year, followed by Keelan Robinson. Keelan Robinson was running back number three this year, Rod.
Damn. Are you serious? Are you serious? That's crazy.
Yes.
Wow. I cannot believe that. That's crazy.
So, I mean, look, you look at that stuff. Texas is on a roll right now, particularly Tashard Choice at running back.
Wow.
Jade Blue, you mentioned, or Jade Blue and Cedric Baxter are the leaders. Trey Wisner going to get his chance this year. But the two guys you mentioned, Gibson and Clark, certainly in there. The other guys that Jerry and I think said were a little ahead of schedule for us. Jordan Washington at tight end.
Yes. Agreed.
Daniel Cruz at center, perhaps. And we didn't say whether Colin Simmons was ahead or behind. We think he's really good.
Yeah. He needs to be on that list too. Yeah. I agree. He's on that list too.
I had Jordan Johnson Rubel maybe a little ahead of schedule too, because I thought, I don't know, like guys like him and Ty Anthony Smith that are so instinctive, those guys end up being really good players. Jordan Johnson Rubel didn't look lost in the spring game, Rod, at all.
No, I mean, I'm with you on that. The young DBs, I think the DBs as a whole, the young DBs too, they struggled a little bit in the spring game, but you're right about that. I mean, he put together more consistent performances than probably the rest of them.
Yeah.
I agree with you on that.
Good stuff. All right. We're going to take y'all's questions the rest of the night. We got some free time here. We're going to talk a little recruiting, a little NFL draft as well. Just get the Longhorns out, ready for it. Hopefully, while we're listening to this, the Longhorns baseball team takes care of business in Norman. Let's go ahead and go now to the chat and see if there's anything out there. Let's go with this one from Oreo.
Great question. No.
All right. Who do you expect to be drafted next year? I did a story today, actually, on this for On Texas Football. You know, I think they have enough to go into the 8, 9, 10 range again next year, actually, guys.
For sure.
Just look at it. Jahdae Barron.
Yep.
Baron Sorrell, Hayden Connor, Gunnar Helm. I don't know if Hayden Connor gets drafted, but I bet three of the four do. Then you have Alfred Collins, Jake Majors also. I think Collins is going to get drafted.
Not sure
about Majors. It'll depend on what kind of year is his health and that sort of stuff. But I think he's trending that way. Then you have some guys that are going to be just true juniors, like Kelvin Banks, like DJ Campbell, Ethan Burke, even Cam Williams, if he has that kind of year. And then you have the portal guys, Quinn Ewers, Trey Moore, Isaiah Bond, Amari Nyblack, and Andrew Makuba. The guys I just mentioned, that's 15 guys.
Yeah.
Now, how many of those are going to get drafted? I don't know, but I could definitely see 8 to 10 again next year. Jerry, either one of you have thoughts on those?
No, I fully expect it, barring injuries. And I'll say this, look, somebody out of this group, Cam Williams, DJ Campbell, Ethan Burke, is going to make a big jump next year and have a decision to make. We talked about this before last season, almost daily. If Worthy, A.D. Mitchell, Byron Murphy, we put Quinn in there. If these guys had really big years and had an opportunity to leave early, then Texas will have had a really good season. And that's exactly what happened. I mean, you look at the guys that got drafted, first for Texas. I mean, early entry, right? Tavondre Sweat's the only non-early entry. A.D. Mitchell, early entry. So, I mean, Jatavion Sanders, early entry. Jonathan Brooks, early entry. If those guys all, if you're underclassmen that have an opportunity, have really good seasons next year, and have that decision to make, Texas is going to have another great year on the field. I don't think there's any doubt about it, Rod. And I could see 10, 11 guys get drafted again next year. I don't think it's out of the question.
Yeah, I could see it. I could see it, too. One thing to consider, though, the back end of this previous – this last year's draft was – it was light in terms right. of the talent at the back end of it. NFL scouts were talking about it. NFL execs were talking about it. Because you had so many more guys who had COVID eligibility years, who were staying in school, you had one of the lightest classes of underclassmen that you've had probably in the last 10 years or so. I don't know if that will continue. So I think you may have a little bit more depth at the back end of the draft for guys like Jay Witt and Keelan Robinson. I think it was timely, too, that Keelan Robinson was drafted. They changed that the kickoff rule for the NFL to adopt the XFL kickoff return. I think that helped him, too. So I think you'll have a lot of the frontline guys. I do think the top end of the draft and the middle rounds of the draft. The late end of the draft, though, you know, I think it'll be a little bit different than it was this year.
And to Rod's point, the other thing that factors into that is NIL. Some kids stay the extra year that are either late draft or undrafted free agent. If they're in that window, they're going to stay that extra year because of NIL. So that may keep those bottom rounds a little more open, too. It'll be interesting to see what kind of happens. But, guys, I just think there's too much talent at Texas right now. You're talking about three straight top five classes, blue blood in the portal, that I think we're going to see Texas have. Well, they have 11 guys drafted yesterday. I'm going to throw this out. I'm going to say 28 to 30 draft picks this year and the next 2 years combined. Sark said he wanted to average 8 to 10 a year. I think he's about to do it for a three-year period.
Yeah.
Over 3 years, they have 30, is that what you're saying?
Yeah, 28. So
that'd be 9 and another 10 somewhere down the line. I will say this too. I think there's some NIL keeping kids in college a little bit longer too, Rod. Mm-hmm. That's got to normalize. Yeah. Right. And so that can do it. I want to ask y'all, and I do want to say this. CJ Vogel texted me during the middle of this. Texas now up 10-7 on OU in the final game of the series, the rubber match. They're in the top of the six. Texas winning 10-7. Guess how Texas got to 10? 5 2-run homers in a single game. So that's college baseball. You know what I mean? Hey, I had a question for y'all as it relates to the NFL draft. It just something I thought of because I looked at that the number of players picked by each team, or not by each team, but from each team. So from Michigan, from Texas, Florida State, Alabama. Dude, that might as well have been just the top 10 list of teams in the final top 10.
Yeah.
And I was wondering, y'all take this, tell me what you think here. There were a lot of guys at the in the 2010s that could have been drafted that were Longhorns that ended up going and making a team as an undrafted free agent. Do some of these teams, NFL teams, give a little bit of a check mark to teams and their players who have won a lot of games? I mean, because I think back to you know, Mac used to have more guys drafted. I just look at it, and did Ryan Watts, for example, get a bonus for playing on a team that was pretty good? Michigan with 13. Look at that. Alabama, Florida State, Washington, Texas, Michigan. That's your top five or six. Well, and then you add Georgia, Oregon, Penn State. That's your top eight.
So here's what I think we're going to see.
You know, the only one I'm missing in there is Ole Miss.
Here's what I think we're going to – and Ole Miss is going to have a few the next year or two.
Yeah.
Here's what I think we're going to see, though. I think we're going to see more of the power teams with more guys drafted in the future and less of your FCS G5s, because those best players, Jared Verse, are jumping into the big-time programs. Mm-hmm. So I think this whole – college football is set up for blue bloods now in recruiting. We talked about it, Bobby. There's no excuse to be inexperienced again. And you can go pull three or four draft picks every year out of the portal and that play 1 year at your school, maybe five guys and two of them play 2 years. So I think this draft is going to continue to be top heavy with the top schools because they have every advantage right now. And you're going to see less FCS guys, less G5 guys that are going to be taken overall in drafts because those guys are just they're jumping in the portal and going to make NIL money.
Yeah, and I think also at the bottom of the roster for a lot of these blue blood teams, those guys who used to be undrafted free agents, they leave now.
Yeah.
Right. So they leave to go somewhere so they can play and they become a draftable prospect instead of an undrafted free agent. And the development at Texas right now is really good. And that also some of those guys who were going to be undrafted free agents, like, you know, a Jay Witt or a Keelan Robinson, you know, hell, even a Christian Jones, I would throw him out there. They end up being draftable prospects now because of the development on the 40 acres too. So at one point, Texas was a bargain. It was a bargain bin. It was a bargain bin for NFL teams because you had high-level prospects, blue-chip prospects who were being recruited, but then there was something lost in translation. They weren't being developed or they were underdeveloped. NFL teams would come in and get them at a bargain basement value. Oh, this guy's undrafted or a late-round pick, and then you can just develop that guy into or at least to reaching his ceiling, closer to reaching his ceiling in the NFL. That was happening a lot for, you know, I don't know, maybe a decade-plus on the 40 acres. It looks like Sark has remedied that issue. They're maximizing these guys and getting the most out of the talent on 40 acres. Guys they inherited, but guys they brought in too. Like you said, Bobby, now it's you got four or five different ways that they're developing guys into becoming NFL players. It ain't just one method. It's like, no, come to Texas. We'll find a way to maximize your talent. Just come to Texas. Like Keenan Robinson said, just come to Texas. That simple.
Yeah, Corey Peacock asked if with 11 drafted white, we couldn't beat Washington. Well, they had 10.
They had both tackles.
Yeah.
They had both tackles, three wide receivers, and quarterback. That's a pretty potent offense, fellas.
And their strength, they were the best in the country in terms of their deep passing game, vertical passing game. And that was the biggest weakness of Texas. So their glaring strength was directly pointed at Texas' most pressing issue and their biggest weakness and liability. So I think that was also just a matchup thing. But also, listen, they had their quarterback was better. Now, we love Quinn, but their quarterback was better. And say what you want about Kalen DeBoer, he's 2-0 against Sark. So Kalen DeBoer right now is considered a better coach. So better coach, better quarterback, usually, you know, that gives you a big advantage.
Yeah, I tell you what, Kalen DeBoer almost laid an egg. You could call him a better coach, but he almost made a major gaffe.
Yeah, he did.
Game. So we'll see about that. Hey, a couple other things that I wanted to get to. That I was talking about that, and y'all were talking about how the haves have separated from the have-nots, even in the NFL draft. I mean, I grew up when, I don't know, Tennessee State might have a guy in the first round, or, you know, name a UT El Paso or Colorado State or one of those, Wyoming has a Josh Allen or something. You know what I mean? Something like that. What if I told you that 31 of the 32 NFL draft picks were from Power 5 conference?
And that's kind of my point.
31 of 32.
That's kind of my Bobby, I think the days of these 6'7", 270-pound high school offensive linemen staying at Northern Iowa for 4 or 5 years is over. Those guys
Or Eric Fisher staying at Central Michigan.
Yeah, those guys are portaling up now. They're not staying. Too much money.
Yeah, yeah.
That makes total sense because the corner from Toledo.
Yeah.
The only one that's not a Power 5 guy.
And by the way, Nick Saban damn near on ABC says, like, we tried to get him. I'm like, what? What? I mean, like, he's pretty much saying we tried to get him to get in the portal. He doesn't care now. He's golfing his ass off.
No.
He said,
you can make the argument now that if you're not tampering, you're not doing your job.
Right.
That's just you say what you want about the rules and everything. But as a coach in terms of recruiting, if you ain't finding some way to get an ear of that young man or to drop him a DM or a message through another player that knows him or a coach that knows him, you ain't doing your job, man.
Clear because he doesn't have social media. He can say whatever he wants. It wasn't me.
Yeah, what deal? Yeah, exactly. But no, you're right, Bobby, because think about it. And like Jerry says, everybody's portaling up. You know, that's the problem with being a Texas State now. You know, you fight your butt off. You recruit a guy. You develop him like hell. You win games. And then that guy's like, thanks, coach. I'm out after that 1 year. And it almost feels hopeless in a sense that every time you get a good player, it's almost a 90% chance that if he's an underclassman, a really good player, that he's out. That next season you won't have him. That's really tough. And if you go look at now the new conferences, take the Pac-12 out of it, just so consider the newest phase of realignment. Draft picks by conference, Big Ten 69, SEC 63, ACC 43, and the Big 12 24. The Mountain West had 8. That's the drop off.
Yeah.
So pretty soon when the AC, when Florida State and Clemson and the ACC, when that realignment happens, which we all know is coming because Florida State's unhappy with their deal and they don't like their revenue sharing deal and they want more. When that happens, a lot of those draft picks were from Florida State and probably some of those other schools in Clemson, which might end up going with them when they leave. Guys, there are only going to be 2 choices for major college football. It's going to be like the Android iPhone era. You don't know anybody that has anything other than the iPhone or Android. That's only 2 choices that we got. And that's the same way it's going to be for major college football. 2 choices, SEC and Big Ten.
Rod's
going to be the flip phone. Go ahead.
Rod just brought up a great point, and I was going to bring it up earlier, and I went Space Cadet. If Dabo Swinney is not watching the draft and saying, my numbers are slipping in the draft, why, and doesn't understand why, I don't know what to tell the guy. Is he going to be so hard-headed he's not going to go to the portal and end up just crashing? And he's not going to crash. He's going to be in the Hall of Fame. But, man, like, Florida State just went to the portal and raced by you in 2 years.
Yep.
Your outright refusal to go to the portal. Just think about the conversation we just had the last 15 minutes. And look at their numbers in the draft this year.
Yep.
And look at teams and how many portal guys they had added their draft numbers. Unbelievable hard-headedness in Clemson right now.
That's a great point.
All right, Chris Bennett had a little something to say. Sark reset the standard with these 11 draft picks. I got to believe him. Rod, another thing that we did over the week, last, I don't know, 3 or 4 days, we talked about the grades on each position for the Longhorns. Coming out of spring ball, you were not so nice about the secondary play. Justin Yarbrough has a super chat here. With the DB play and lack of guys being drafted out of the secondary, will that hurt recruiting? And couldn't be happier with the guys that got drafted. Does that really hurt? There wasn't anybody really due to be drafted. So my point, and before Rod, you even get to answer a little bit of this. Only person that's really was rated a draftable pick that ended up on Texas's campus was Terrence Brooks. Now he started.
He did.
What, 17 games?
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. I mean, it's not like he was ready to go yet. He was a true sophomore last year. Rob, what are your thoughts about the DB play and lack of guys being drafted? Does that affect or hurt recruiting in your opinion?
I don't know if it hurts recruiting. I mean, guys, I remember when part of the pitch when I came to Texas was bringing DBU back. And I mean, we're going to bring DBU back. It's time to bring them back to prominence. Texas has a lot of great defensive backs. Now it's time to make, you know, the University of Texas the marquee university for defensive back development. So you can flip it. It all depends on how you want to flip the narrative. I mean, it makes sense to us why they're not getting a lot of guys drafted from the secondary right now, because the secondary hasn't been that good lately. And I think they have really good players in the secondary. I mean, Ryan Watts is kind of the perfect example of, he really is. He is, honestly, guys, he is the microcosm of the Texas secondary in a nutshell. Tested really well. Right, you can look at his testing numbers. He was 4th in the shuttle at the combine, 6th in the vertical. He was 2nd in the 3-cone drill. He had the best gauntlet drill, top speed for any cornerback. If you go look at his broad jump at Pro Day, would have been the 4th best at the combine. You think to yourself, damn, those are great numbers. He must have played really well. The tape must align with the measurables, has to. And yet it didn't. And you're like, whoa, hold up, man. You mean great change direction? He's 6'3", guy with that kind of frame, that kind of size, that kind of speed, change direction. That guy was a really good player for you. It's like he was inconsistent at best, actually, out there for Tay. A little inconsistent in coverage for Texas. And so I think the secondary, like I said, they got good pieces. And I do think if you start looking at individually the pieces they have, you think to yourself, hey, man, this is a group that should be a strength for Texas. and then the sum of its parts doesn't seem to add up. As a group, holistically, they don't play effectively, don't play well together as a group. And so to me, that's the biggest concern, because it's not a talent issue anymore. They've brought in enough talent in that secondary now. We should see strides, and they should be this upcoming season. They shouldn't be a weakness. I'm not gonna say they should be a strength, because I was misled on that. Because that's the way I was thinking going to the spring game, and I won't stand out on that that limb anymore until I see more from them. But they shouldn't be a weakness this season. If they are, then I think we got a bigger problem potentially.
I do think one area, and I'm excluding Manny Muhammad from this, because he's like Terry and Arnold. He can run 4.47 and 4.5 and maybe go in the first round one day, because he lives in phase, as Rod was talking about Friday. The guy just plays in phase. Rod, does Texas need a little more speed, though? Because what Texas doesn't have, I think, is just the flat-out go speed at corner. Bobby?
I agree. No, I've said this the whole time. This has been my take on it. But I will add this. I mean, I do think that this is now the first time they're starting to get higher ranked players into the system, Jerry.
Yeah, agree.
And so a little bit this, they were dealing with the players that were there that won't get drafted.
Right.
But mm-hmm. even if after they transfer, they still won't get drafted. It's not like Texas didn't work them out and try to get them to that point anyways. It just, and so I don't feel like it's that. I think it's a little bit of personnel. We'll see where it goes. Here's one thing that I want to comment on.
Not like Rod says, first world problems, right?
Yeah, no, it really is. We'll also see what they do in the portal too before I get there, because I think Andrew McCube is going to be part of the answer.
Very much.
I think Jahdae Barron will be part of the answer.
Yep.
That secondary. So, all right, hey, James Pennington, really enjoy the show and insight and listen all the time. We appreciate you guys. Appreciate you, James. With all these 4 and 5-star DBs, when is it a coaching issue? I'm tired of hearing need speed, but the Kansas States of football have no problem. I want to say this. That's a little bit of a Kansas State had problems with Malik Murphy. So they don't have problems relative to Kansas State problems. Texas is trying to be truly elite. And so there's a difference there in what they're trying to do. And so, I'm not a big, believer in comparing, not whining about it. Like Kansas State doesn't whine about it, because they're happy when they win 8 or 9 games most years.
Yeah, but then they go up against Sugar Bowl.
And they've been, Texas has expected to win 10 and been winning 6.
Well,
there's just higher expectations at Texas, and there haven't been a lot of 5-star DBs. That's not true. Right. That's not true.
What I was going to say about Kansas State, and I'm not – look, what happened when Kansas State went up against Alabama in the Sugar Bowl? They look like they're running in concrete. So, I mean, there's levels to this, and speed always wins. That's always number one. There's a reason Nick Saban – and Kirby Smart and Urban Meyer, because Ohio State, as a football team, they're not as fast as they were under Urban Meyer, 1 through 85 on their roster. They're not.
All right, this is the – go ahead, Rod.
No, I just wanted to say this real quick, because Sark talks about – first of all, the speed thing, it's interesting that Sark covets speed on offense, but has not really necessarily – been prioritized it in the secondary, like foot speed. Now the group they brought in this recruiting class, he talks about how they're faster, right? That's a faster group. So maybe that is something they're going to prioritize now: speed, length, coverage, versatility. We've talked about those things. But I want to say this though: Sark's talks about complementary football a lot. Last season, how often do you think Texas faced, basically, while they were trailing in a game, they faced like a team that was pass happy, like throwing the football against Texas while Texas was trailing, because Texas didn't trail that often, right? Like Texas didn't, it wasn't very often when Texas trailed in a game. The Oklahoma game they were trailing, the Washington game they were trailing, that's pretty much it, right? I mean, Texas, other than that, Texas didn't trail a lot. The problem came for Texas in the defensive backfield was when you were up big, multiple scores, 20, 21 points, 2-3 touchdowns, and allow teams to come back and make it a game in the fourth quarter in clutch time.
Yeah.
So to me, that's why it is a complementary football issue, because these teams are in predictable passing situations. They're throwing the football. A lot of them have abandoned the run game. They're one-dimensional, which should make them easier to defend. And yet that's when Texas was at his most vulnerable. That's also about the pass rush, too.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's why, like, I wonder if the interior pass rush last year is just overall going to be less effective. And now that you have the rush coming from the edges to collapse the pocket, will that be a more effective pass rush when you're up in games? Because that's what Texas is going to be, ideally. Up in games, what Sark's offense is designed to do. Get up big, opening script, that kind of stuff, right? Get up big, for first 40 plays, as we know now. Get up big in a game, and then force your opponent to abandon their game plan and have to throw the football to get back into it. And last season, it almost came back to bite like 3 or 4 times. And I think that's going to be the key. When you get up big in a game, can you now manufacture a game? That's why I love the NASCAR package. You got all them DNs. When you get up 17.3 scores on a team, put that NASCAR package in when they start throwing the football, even on early downs. Put them in there. You got DNs that are big enough where you can bump them inside situationally and get speed out there and rush the hell out of them and force them. If they want to run the football to get back in the game, great. You'll waste damn time to get back in the game. Good. That's kind of complimentary football we need. But last year, Texas often, it was the distorted view of the defense, because I think oftentimes they couldn't get home to make those splash plays when Sark's offense and Sark's game plan was designed to put his defense in a position to make the opposing team one-dimensional, and then you could be aggressive and get after him, and Texas couldn't take advantage of it.
Speaking of that, Bobby.
Hold on one second, Jerry. Hold on one second. We've got to talk about – I want to do this real quick with Joe Brown. We've got a special guest coming up. Melvin Hills is going to join us, Texas ID. We'll come on campus, I think, late May, early June. We got to bring him in here a second. But first, I want to say thank you to Joe Brown. Joe, your veteran mortgage professional. Joe's been providing mortgages in Austin and around Texas for more than 3 decades. In fact, he was my mortgage broker for my very first ever home purchase more than 25 years ago. Joe's also a proud Navy veteran and a devout Longhorn fan. He's helped not only myself, but numerous Texas grads and various UT athletes through the years get their home mortgage set up. Give him a call, 512-663-4744. If you're looking for a mortgage, that's 512-663-4744. It's the biggest purchase a lot of people will make in their entire lives. Make sure you have someone that's a veteran to do it. 30-plus years of experience with Joe Brown, 512-663-4744. All right, let's bring in Melvin Hills. Matt, our producer, will do that. Melvin, how you doing tonight, bud?
Good, and y'all?
Good. How's it like over in Lafayette today? You have a good day today?
Yes, sir. It was a shiny day. Good to work out. I was with my little cousin. Me and him was practicing a little football because he just started like last year.
Good stuff.
Hey, Melvin, you were back on campus for the Texas spring game. So you got a chance to actually sit down, talk with Kenny Baker, right, a little bit. Kind of tell Texas fans, almost 3,000 people on here right now, Mel, what was kind of that, what were your impressions of Kenny Baker? I know you talked to him before, but really sitting down with him and your impressions of Kenny Baker, and what did he have to tell you on that April 20th day?
My impression is getting better and better every time I see him. He just shows me more of the type of guy he is, and it's more of the love I get for him, man. I went this past weekend, it was a great feeling. He was telling me all the things that I should do. He kept helping me get better, like the workouts I should do, all the things that I should try, the things to just better my craft, to keep my pass rush better, to help me stay low, all them type of things. He just kept giving me information to better myself.
And Melvin, you saw the guys play in the spring game. What was your primary takeaways from it?
Oh, no, we got some dogs. we coming back for sure. We coming back, yeah. Ain't nothing stopped, nothing changed. Yeah, the standard was set. We got to surpass it again.
I like
good
that.
Stuff.
Hey, Melvin, did you watch the draft, man? And what were your thoughts about the draft? The part of it you get a chance to watch?
Hey, I was excited. I pretty much watched the whole draft. I made sure all our players went, all 11 of them. Every time that somebody went, I texted my family group chat. I was like, hey, that's 5 Longhorns off the board. That's 6 right there. We was all just watching it together. I was happy. My boy Murphy, my boy T Sweat to go. I saw T Sweat for the spring game. Me and him had talked it up. He was just like, "Bro, be patient. Like everything will fall apart. Like everything will fall into the part." So yeah. I was like, appreciate that. And then watching him just get drafted and he gonna do great. I already feel it. Like they got the talent. They got the mindsets and everything. So they are.
Melvin, Jerry and Rod always talk about it's like an athlete's dream to reach the NFL draft and have their name called on draft night. So you are in that situation. You're a young man. You haven't even entered college yet, but obviously that's probably one of your dreams. Yes, what is it? What does it mean to you to see other people like get to reach their dream like that? Is that just reinforcing, make you want to work harder? What does it make you feel like?
It shows me that like, because, like, the more you get to talk to those people and seeing those people that you talk to go to the job, it shows me that it's capable. Like, you don't have to worry about, can I do it or not? You seeing them doing it, if they could do it, I could do it. That's how I look at it. If somebody else could do it, I could do it. If they could do it, I could probably do it better.
Hey, Melv, is it crazy seeing Tavondre Sweat that he was 6'3", 265 at your age, leaving high school, 275? I mean, that's – because that's about your size right now, right? Are you about 6'3", 280 right now, 6'4", 280?
I'm 290 right now. I moved up in weight.
Coach. Oh, you're getting there.
Yeah.
Hey Melvin, how you adding on them pounds, man? What's the diet like? You just get to eat what you want, okay? Got you on a strict regimen.
I made sure I said if I gain this weight, I ain't gaining this weight in fat. But I made sure I eat like I ate baked food. I cut off the fried food because that's bad. I miss my fried chicken, my fried fish. But I really got to the baked fish and the baked chicken. Started doing more weight. Like instead of doing more reps, started doing more weights for my workouts. And then I switched my whole workout, making sure I could turn all this into more muscle, like into the rib muscles. Trying to get built like Aaron Donald out here.
That yeah, team. Man. I see. Yeah, that's right. That's what's up.
Hey, so Melvin, you had Melvin, you had a whale of a senior year. You really had a great senior year. What was it? How many tackles for loss did you have? I can't.
Ooh.
It was almost, I mean, look, okay. I think it was near, there it is. 41 hurries, 23 and a half tackles for loss last year, Melvin. Tell us what did and how you've improved year over year, because a lot of people they come in, they're 5 stars or whatever, and they're already tapped out. You've continued to improve over your high school career, and it seems like you're going in the right direction here.
Well, one thing, the coach I had and the coach I'm having right now, they let you know you ain't there yet. You got to keep going outside like everybody else. You got to keep working on stuff. And the way my family is, they get on you every day. You're doing your push-ups, you're doing your sit-ups. Make sure you get your squats in. If you're not working, somebody else working. When you're taking your days off, somebody else getting that working. So, like, I always try to make sure that nobody could outwork me. I'm trying to make sure that, like, I know a lot of people say, you can't outwork me. I'll show you that. Like, I'm going to show you can't outwork me. I'm going to keep working. I'm going to keep doing this. I'm going to keep running my hundreds. Me and my teammates going to go run hills. Or we're gonna compete while we do push-ups. I got my teammate right now, John. Man, he 5'5", but that buck will squat 500. He benching over 300. So, like, I got to make sure I keep up with him. And he don't stop. Like, he never stop. I could be tired. He'd be like, Melvin, let's do some planks. I'm like, bro, we just finished the whole ab workout. What you want to do planks for? He said, get down. I'm like, all right, bro, let's go.
Hey, Melvin, talk about this, too. And some Texas fans know this that really follow recruiting closely. Some are going to learn about this right now. You've already overcome an ACL injury.
Is there?
Talk about the perseverance there, because what were you, 15, 16 when that injury happened? So talk about how deep you had to dig inside as a young guy, as a football player, because you probably, when it happened, wondered, oh, man, what's going to happen? My dreams, all this. Talk about the overcoming that and the work that went into it and your mindset.
Yeah, well, when I got hurt, I was devastated, crying. I had my mom was coming to me and everything. Cause mom, the way I was, like, my recruitment didn't start until after I had got my ACL injury. So I was like, the process is gonna be even harder. I can't move right now. I'm gonna get like slowish and everything. Team going, like, with some teams, they thought like, oh, you gonna be able to bend because you got these braces. So I'm like, man, like, is everything over with? But one thing that really helped me stay close was just like, it helped me get closer to God. And like, for anybody, I tell them that, like, if you have a major injury and you scared, like, you scared for your major injury, like, just talk to God so you can get all the pressure off your shoulders, and so you can keep a clear mindset. Like, as soon as I started praying and talking and going to church more, like, everything just became easier and lighter and everything. So that's my advice to anybody right there. Just keep your head forward and talk to God with
you. I like that. Hey, Melvin, I want to ask you about, I'm just sitting there watching you right now. And it seems like you got some pass rushing moves. How are you expanding your repertoire of pass rushing moves? And do you have a go-to move? What's your go-to?
My three go-to is, one is the stab. Then I got the cross drop. And I try to get the push-pull in, but the push-pull, you got to make sure you get them off balance first. And then you got to pull them and pop your hips to whatever side you're trying to pull them away from. So, like, that's my three go-to. But I really want to get I've been trying to get the ghost rush because with them, you know, in high school I played edge a little bit, so I tried to get the ghost rush. But right now I'm trying to make sure I just stay low and being able to grab that shoulder and pull them down.
Nice,
good stuff. Melvin Hills, Longhorn commit. Melvin, when do you guys arrive? When do the guys that are the full year guys come in and arrive in Austin this year?
June 1st. I leave June 1st. And we most likely.
Yeah. Hey, good luck to you. Good luck to you. You guys be safe. Have a good month. We'll see you in Austin approximately 32 days, buddy.
Yes, sir.
All right.
Hey, by the time he gets there, he's going to be 295 at this rate, man.
Got to build the muscle. Hey, got to build the muscle. Hey, I'm trying to make sure I go down and be able to help the team.
Tell Red, hello, by the way, Melvin.
Yes, sir. I got you.
Take care, man. That's Melvin Hills, a good guy. Good that's stuff, awesome. Jerry. Thanks for setting that up. Jerry Hamilton set that up for all of us today. That's good stuff. Hey, Rod, go ahead, Jerry.
He is, and the reason I love having Melvin on, he's serious about football. Rod, you could tell.
Yeah, you could tell.
You asked him a question, and he got right. And he's serious about football.
Yeah, he is.
He was 270-ish pounds probably this time a year ago. So, I mean, he's putting in a lot of work. He is serious about football. I think that was a strong evaluation by Texas with Melvin Hills.
I mean, just listen to him when you start asking him about his pass rush moves. See how quick he went into it?
Yeah.
His three favorite ones and the one he's working on already. Shows me he's a student of the game a little bit. Yes. And I love the sacrifice and commitment already. No fried chicken for a young man in Louisiana? Oh,
I
man.
Can't do it for a day.
All that good Cajun food down there is giving up fried food. Trust me, guys, that ain't easy. That ain't easy in Louisiana, man. My people swamp people.
Hey, I was going to ask him if he had any gumbo. That was turned on pretty quick, too, now.
Gumbo can't be bad for you. It's got to be good for you, right? Is gumbo good for you? I don't know. It ain't fried.
It puts hair on your chest, that's for sure. All right, hey, Brandon Ralston here. Rod, you're getting me hyped with this NASCAR package.
Hey.
LOL. I think that a lot of people are. This one from Juan. It's Terry Joseph. That's the problem. Bad technique and bad eyes. What are you teaching them? Hell of a recruiter. I give him that, but he didn't do nothing at Notre Dame. I got to tell y'all, don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. Let's let this happen. Okay. Let's get them the guys and see what happens this year. I think what happens if we get there and go too much on this, it becomes a narrative that may or may not be 100% accurate.
Yep.
And if you sit there and browbeat it, it'll all of a sudden become true because people will, that'll be the perception. That's not necessarily true. Okay. So let's let that go a little bit. This is true from him a little bit though. Juan, you say Terry Joseph's under the microscope. If the DB room is bad, Sark will make a change and hire someone from the NFL, a.k.a. Jerry Gray, Chris Richard, or Al Harris, potentially. All right, got some other questions coming up here. This one from Emmanuel Villafranco. We need to move a little bit towards answering some more of these open questions. Jerry, He just jumped on. He says, any update on portal cornerbacks? We have not talked about cornerbacks at this point. We've already talked about the defensive tackles.
Yeah, we'll see. I mean, Texas is trying on Takario Davis. We'll see where it goes. If he is serious about the being in the portal or not. Texas is all in on Takario Davis. Obviously, he's the top corner in the portal right now. There's one or two guys from Western Kentucky that are interesting in the portal as well. But as far as visits, anything like that, nothing we've heard as of Sunday earlier afternoon. Yeah. By the way, the portal closes, which is important, I think, Tuesday, 11:59 p.m.
Yep.
That is the after that, teams will know exactly who is in the portal, who's out of the portal. You don't have to have a decision by then. But from Sark's standpoint specifically, they will know at that point in time at 11:59 p.m. on Tuesday who has gone in the portal and who's definitely staying at Texas. So I think that's a key date too, Bobby.
That's big.
All right, I'm going to ask you this basketball question from Ryan Pattinson. Any basketball updates? So we lost out on the Air Force guy that was from the Metroplex, Gary. What are your thoughts there?
Yeah, Rytus Petratus went to Cal over Texas. He really liked Texas. Texas loved him as a player, guys. But I think Cal offers a great opportunity for him. Look, Texas, what they've done in the portal so far is it's going to take somebody that's willing to be not play 27, 30 minutes a game and be a 20, 22-minute role player. They can be a really good player as a role player, but still not a 27, 30-minute a game guy at that forward position. And I think California offered him those opportunities, and that's pretty much what that came down to. I think if the opportunities were the same, I think he would have gone to Texas from Arlington, played at Oak Ridge High School there in Arlington. But I do think Cal, the opportunity there. They also got Andre Stojakovic, so they got big guard and big combo forward taken care of with those two guys at University of California. Texas will have a couple other guys they look at. They want another big. They have to get a big. They don't want one. They have to get a big. We'll see what happens there. Brandon Garrison was at Arkansas this weekend. Texas has a couple other lines out on some guys. I'm sure that'll surface soon, as well as one more forward. They're done at guard. Done at guard. They got the backcourt set, and we'll see what they how they finish out the last two spots.
Good stuff, Jerry. All right, Texas baseball. Let's see. If I'm not mistaken, Texas is now up 12-8 in the seventh inning, it looks
like. I like it.
They're trying to take 2 of 3 from OU tonight, a doubleheader today after being rained out yesterday. Guys, we talked a little bit of the draft. We talked defensive tackle recruiting in the portal. Coaches on the road this week for recruiting coming up. We've talked just about anything and everything. Spoke with Melvin Hills. Yep. Tonight as well, the defensive tackle out of Lafayette, Louisiana. He's going to be coming in on June 1st, he said, is move-in day for him. We've got a time for a couple more questions here. This is an interesting one from Jason Hernandez. What has been the decline of the power running backs that just run over you? Over the years, players have gotten bigger in every position, it seems, except for running back. Yeah, where's the Earl Campbell, the Jerome Bettis? You know, now it's... It seems like ever since maybe like Adrian Peterson did a little bit of that, but really he was speed.
Yeah. Derrick Henry's the last one. I mean,
Derrick Henry will run through tackles now.
But you're right. Not many. It's very rare. And I remember the Chris Warren's back to that. I mean, all those guys.
Oh yeah.
I don't think I can think of spread offenses because you spread out things and now it's more of a pace and space spread game and less than 3 yards in the cloud of dust. Now it's 3-step drops and getting the ball out quickly that the teams just don't prioritize. They don't covet those types of running backs. So they want running backs who can be threats in the passing game. Not that those guys can't, but it seems like these smaller guys, you're more, you know, you're getting close to Jahmyr Gibbs or Alvin Kamara. That's what the NFL covets over the bigger, more physical backs. But you're right. As a DB, I don't want to tackle them big dudes. I don't want to tackle them big dudes. Not at all. So I don't, you know, there's still some teams that believe in it. Remember, Tennessee in the NFL is probably the team that believes in bully ball or at least invests in it more than anybody. Matter of fact, they just did, right? They believe in bully ball on both sides of the ball, even still, even you know, after they've kind of a new regime has come in, they still believe in. They drafted an O lineman and Devondre Sweat in the first two picks. So tell them some teams just the way they want to go about it.
Hey, yeah, I think it'd be interesting right now, Bobby. I think I think one, running backs have a shorter shelf life. I think it's a different mindset. But you wonder if Derrick Henry was 10 years old right now, because I was part of covering this one in high school. He was going to play running back come hell or high water, right? Mm-hmm. I wonder if he was 10 years old today with the money that running backs make versus the running back edge rushers make, Rod. Would he be as close-minded to playing running back? I venture to say those guys are shifting their focus a little bit more now. Elijah Barnes, big running back at Dallas Skyline. We had his coach on Friday, Jacody Coleman, who played linebacker at Iowa. And he was like, I told him, you're playing linebacker, man. I mean, there, you're big, you look good, probably running back, you're moving the linebacker. I just wonder if kids' mindsets are changing at that position a little bit, the bigger athlete.
That's a great point. You know, Texas even had it before that happened, right, with your Chris Whaley's and your Lamar Houston was one of those guys.
Henry Melton. People remember Lamar Houston was the high school running back.
Isn't that wild? So maybe, Jerry, you're right. You're on some. I think you're right, Jerry.
The money's rushing the Jason quarterback. Jason Hernandez in another chat or another question had mentioned Cedric Benson as one of those guys that was more of a pounder. He was Jackson Earl Campbell, Ricky Williams, all those guys, wide-bodied guys.
Yeah.
That's one of the things. You don't see many wide-bodied running backs anymore, do you? They're
svelte now. Yeah, you're right. Yeah.
A little bit different. As it goes more in space too, Jerry.
That's exactly it. Right. Well, and somebody put this in the chat, and I totally agree. Patrick Page, most high school coaches are moving those running backs to linebacker and edge in high school. 100% true. And spread football. Those guys aren't playing running back at the early age anymore. That's kind of like Derrick Henry. I wondered what he would actually be now. Those guys are moving to outside linebacker and edge in high school. A lot of those guys are. By the way, somebody asked, I want to reset this. Dominic Williams visiting LSU Monday and Tuesday. Decision either Wednesday or Thursday is expected. He's visited Oklahoma, Texas, Missouri in that order. We'll see what it comes down to, who are the final two when that decision is ultimately made. I think Texas, you know, look, things can change, but I think Texas may be slightly ahead of Oklahoma right now. I don't know. I think Missouri, that would be a big upset. We'll see what happens after LSU. They're in it.
All right. A couple other things I want to ask here. This is a kind of a two-part question. First from Jason Rosenthal, and I'm going to mix two questions together because we're running a little short on time here tonight. Justin Rosenthal says, based on spring, which players from last year's team do you think may take the biggest jump? So which players take the biggest jump based on spring? And then Joel McWaters, what player has the highest chance of being a player drafted much higher than anyone thinks he will be drafted today? So what player in spring had a better spring, and then which one do you think has a chance to be drafted higher? I'm going to go with drafted higher, and I'll take this one first, and then I'm going to circle back and let you guys think about it. But drafted higher, I'm going with the young man named Cameron Williams, the offensive tackle. And people don't necessarily think of this because, I mean, he's been 2 years, he's been sitting behind Christian Jones, who just went in the fifth round, right?
Yeah.
So Christian Jones didn't go high. Cam Williams has first-round potential. Now, I'm not saying he's going to be in the first round, but he's that big.
Yeah.
And he moves really well laterally. If Cameron Williams were just to be an offensive guard, he's a top two-round pick. If he can play tackle, he might be a first-round guy. I mean, he's that big. You know, I think that he's got to prove it on the field. But physically, he's just a little bit of a freak. And NFL teams, they draft those. And they draft them earlier than you think they should. Devondre Sweat, physical freak a little bit. Right? We all had him thinking, oh, he's going to get pushed down to the fourth round. No chance. Goes 38 overall. They draft those guys. And they draft them. They draft them because they, whether they should or not, they draft them because they got something that you ain't got. And that's, he's 6'7", 6'8", and 350, 360 pounds. Yep. And that's just a mountain of a man.
I think the three guys, Bobby, I think the three guys are Cam Williams, DJ Campbell, and Ethan Burke. I think those are the three guys to watch this season on the field. And Ethan Burke will pop into some mock drafts. But just if you look at a mock draft now versus after the season, I mean, 75% of those guys change. But those are the three guys I look at, Rod, that, okay, to Bobby's point, Cam Williams, DJ Campbell, a hell of an athlete at 6'3", 320, right, at guard. See how he is pass pro, both those guys this year. Then Ethan Burke is a guy who, if he takes another big jump suddenly with the length, and I'm not saying he is, I'm saying the if game with these guys. Those are the three I'm looking at. Somebody brought up Jaden Blue. What's interesting about Jaden Blue is the 2025 NFL running back draft is going to be much, much deeper than 24. If you just go look at his class of running backs in college football, these guys have been big time productive. I mean, you know, and I'm not, people can argue who's better and who's better. Jaden Blue hasn't carried the ball more than 10 times in a game in his career. So this season's huge for him. But Ollie Gordon, Amarian Hampton, the two guys at Penn State are really good players. Quinshon Judkins now at Ohio State. I mean, there's like seven or eight guys. Damian Martinez will have a big year at Miami after having a big year at Oregon State. There is a ton of productive backs in that class, and that's before you get to the older guys like Travion Henderson. So while Jaden Blue may have a really, really good season, the 26 running back draft may look better for him, Rod, than 25. We'll have to see how it plays out.
Yeah, and the running back position overall, right, has lost so much value. It's gotten pushed out. You never see running backs getting drafted really high up in the first round anymore, even though we have the Bijan Robinson exception, but that he's an exceptional, extraordinary exception for that. So I think, yeah, but Jaden Blue, I don't know if he can get drafted high as a running back. He's an NFL player. There's no doubt about that. I agree with you about Ethan Burke, though. I think he was the guy that I'm thinking who could make that kind of leap that we're not expecting to get drafted high, who could, if he gets when we're close to double-digit sacks with that kind of size, the NFL's going to go, okay, now that guy's a – now he's proven he can be, you know, an elite pass rusher on top of having, as Bobby mentioned, things you just cannot coach, like the size, the wingspan, the length. Yeah, he's one of them dudes.
What about this one, guys? The second part of this question, different to asker. But based on spring, which players from last year's team do you think make the biggest jump year over year? Biggest jump. Is it someone as simple as David Benda?
DeAndre Moore.
That's good.
Derek Williams.
I think it'll probably be someone more like Jaden Blue in a full year.
I'll throw another one out, even though he's because I agree with what Ryan Nelson said, Manny Muhammad.
Yeah. Yep. All right. We're going to finish up with this one, this simple comment. And I think it speaks well to the weekend from QWERTY. 10 wins and 10 draft picks is the new standard. There you go, Rod B. That makes you smile.
I was wondering who Sark's handle was. There it is.
Yeah. No, I think you got to add another one. I think it may be playoff in there too, honestly. Now there's 12 teams, and it looks like they're going to expand it at one point to 14 or 16. I think playoff appearance is probably going to be up there with the new standard, gentlemen.
Good stuff.
Yeah. Good as Matt, and as Mac once mentioned to me, at one point, you'll become a prisoner of your own excellence.
Yeah.
Where if you don't win at least 10, 11 games, then people are talking about you having a down season. And it's like, down season? Yep, down season. That's the standard, though. That's the beauty of pushing that standard.
Hey, the only person I know in college sports that hasn't become a prisoner, or that didn't become a prisoner of their own excellence, was Nick Saban. I mean, legitimately. Yeah. I mean, put me in that prison, Ski Breck says.
by the way, we're so, Rod, Bobby, we're so lucky to have had Nick Saban and Bill Belichick on draft coverage.
Oh, yeah. Belichick was unbelievable.
Belichick was unbelievable.
I went and rewatched some of it, yeah.
We're very lucky right now to have those two guys now as part of draft coverage. And I think Nick Saban's going to be unbelievable on College Game Day for the shows and for college football. But that was awesome to have those two guys talking about the draft, breaking it down, giving their thoughts on it. It was great TV.
Yeah.
Hey, I want to finish with this also. Tyrese Barmer says, don't be surprised if Ryan Watts shines with the Steelers. Rod, you were talking about that earlier. As a Ravens fan, Tyree says that they get the most out of talent as any organization. It's a reason Tomlin has never had a losing season in 15 years. Good luck to Ryan Watts. Good luck to the 10 other Longhorns who got selected this weekend and their future homes and their next steps. So we're going to be tracking incoming players now. Longhorns have some work to do in the portal coming up. As Jerry mentioned and reported, Dominic Williams visits LSU tomorrow and Tuesday, then hopefully makes a decision between Texas, Oklahoma, potentially Missouri, and LSU on either Wednesday or Thursday. We're monitoring a couple other defensive tackles in the portal as well as what happens with some defensive backs, particularly cornerbacks. A lot of news there. We want to say thank you, of course, to Joe Brown, your veteran mortgage broker. Give him a call, 512-663-4744. 30-plus years experience. Again, it's your biggest purchase many people will ever make. You want someone that has the experience and the know-how to get things done and done the right way. 512-663-4744. No telling how much money you can save with someone that's got experience like that. And then also I want to say thank you to Juan, Justin Yarbrough, and Brandon Ralston for your super chats, as well as the hundreds of others that joined us today. We're on the cusp of 44,000 subscribers on our YouTube channel. I think we're at 43,975 or something like that. So if there's 25 of you out there that are not subscribed and want to, please join us there. Also, please consider a subscription to ontexasfootball.com. Right now we're running a special. All you have to do is type in the code OTFOG and you get $20 off your subscription. So it's just $39.95 annually for ontexasfootball.com. All the premium content in there. We can't do videos all day long. We're doing a bunch of content. CJ, myself, Blake Monroe, all involved with that. Please give us a call or please give us a chance to earn your business there. For Jerry Hamilton, for the man Rod Babers, who's got the slick shirt and hat on tonight, he wins the wardrobe award. I'm Bobby Burton. I also appreciate our producer, Matt Hutchinson. Right. For you three guys, everybody else out there, y'all have a good week ahead. Hook 'em.